Hello and welcome in to another episode of Find the Edge with Nick and Cody, coming at you with our week 7 best bets recap. We both came back alive from New Orleans. The over 1.5 of the pod coming back from New Orleans still alive hits. I was not my bet. I had the under, unfortunately, so I did not cash, but glad to see us both back on the pod after a long weekend in NOLA. Cody, how are you feeling?
Tired. I think that's the easiest way to put it. I'm still tired. It was an awesome weekend. New Orleans was a great city, great bachelor party spot, and the Airbnb was sick on top of it all. So, no, it was a really good time, and yeah, might be alive, but might not be all the way there. So
I was going to say, yeah, percentage-wise. Yeah, there's a reason we're recording on Tuesday night instead of Monday. Both of us got back in yesterday, and we're definitely not in the mood to suit up and get on the pod. But we have found the energy here with a nice 3-2 week for both of us, 6-4 for the pod, clawing our way back to 500 here. Only one real good week away from being even, and hopefully second half of the year we can kind of take off really like we have the past 2 years. It's been a pretty similar story. This one's been a little tougher, but honestly I'm not that worried. I like our reads, especially this past week. I think we honestly deserve to maybe even be better than the 6-4 we ended up with, but we will take it after the bad luck we've been having coming into this week. So Cody, you had the first one and we were in attendance. So, well, I was in attendance actually. You showed up after the game, but
yeah, I was unfortunately watching the game on some really crappy airplane Wi-Fi, but we patchworked it together. We got there. So, yeah, like you said, you were in attendance for this. It was a good 1-0 start for the pod. And really, I mean, not too much to talk about this game. After the touchdown with 7 minutes left in the second quarter, there was really no doubt about this one. You know, the Saints have had a lot of injuries, but the team is really kind of showing what people were expecting coming into this season. Dennis Allen, not a very good coach, kind of a solid-ish roster. And then when you just add all the injuries they've had on top of it, it makes them probably one of the worst teams in the NFL. And the Broncos are kind of surging right now. They've kind of got some pop from some young players on their offense, and their defense has been playing really good, even with Surtain out of the lineup last Thursday. So, yeah, honestly, all really good read all around. The number right at 2.5 was nice. We were able to keep it under a field goal, so just all around, really good bet, really good game, and Jake said Broncos. I guess I was happy for them for that game, but screw them going forward. I guess they're a little better than I thought they would be this year, so not looking forward to those Broncos Chiefs matchups.
Yeah, definitely a little better than we thought coming into the year, but I think this is what you said at the beginning, a little more about the Saints, really just lack of talent on the roster right now. Their defense is in shambles. The Broncos really moved the ball pretty much at will, and their offense with Spencer Rattler and really no weapons. I think the sharp movement was pretty indicative here for the Broncos. It moved from like 2.5 from the Saints the week before to 2.5 for the Broncos right before game time, and there was clearly a reason for it. Might even have got ticked up to 3 by game time. And yeah, the Sharps knew what they were doing on this one. The public has been cleaning up for the most part, but sharp money was in the on the right side here, and the Broncos, like you said, never really even sweated it. 33-10, I believe, was the final there. My first bet will go to a loser. This one is tough. It was Green Bay -3 at home against the Houston Texans. They end up winning the game, but 24-22. So they just don't cover my -3. I don't mind the read here. Both offenses really, really struggled on this one, but even considering that, Green Bay probably deserved to win this game by at least a field goal, in my opinion. 277 total yards for the Packers, only 197 yards for the Houston Texans offense. Pretty incredible performance by the Packers defense. But 3 turnovers for Green Bay versus 0 for Houston kept this game a little closer than that number would indicate. So at the end of the day, I think that was really the difference here. The Texans had a couple short fields. They cashed in on them and really didn't do much else at all on offense in this game. Getting to 22 points with only 197 yards and no, like, you know, punt return touchdowns or something like that is pretty hard to do. You really have to be efficient on the drives you, you know, end up on the plus side of the field. But at the end of the day, is what it is. We'll take this one with the other good bets that we had a little bit later on.
Absolutely. I believe you said earlier in that game, the Texans had a missed field or mixed extra point that ended up leading this to basically being a 2-point game versus going to overtime at the end. So
exactly. Yeah.
A little bit of a bad beat on top of it all. So, all right, not really much of a bad beat, but Eagles at Giants +3.5. They are one terrible football team. They had one possession where they scored. It was a field goal. Every other possession ended with a punt. So they just were not able to move the ball on this Giants defense. I believe the Giants defense was at 7 sacks or 9 sacks as a team. I can't remember which one, but just absolutely were getting to the quarterback. And Saquon had a massive day. I mean, they ran all over the Giants defense. I believe Saquon was at 179 yards and a touchdown. Just absolutely killed them. So that's rough. Nick and I were talking about this beforehand, but road teams are 61% against the spread through the first 7 weeks. It is the highest percentage since 1978. So taking these home dogs are absolutely killing us. And then on top of that, road favorites have been 16-2 against the spread since week 5. Both not good stats for the podcast. We usually love taking home underdogs, especially divisional home underdogs. So that kind of can explain a little bit of a rough patch we've hit this season. But, you know, got to keep doing the same thing, because the great thing about gambling, it usually always comes back to the median. So even though trends aren't going our way, and particularly, you know, can't necessarily go away from it because the trend could switch and then you're just losing on both sides. So got to keep plugging away. But this was a bad one. Giants just completely overmatched and never stood a chance.
Yeah, one season usually not long enough to see those sort of trends play out, you know, in the way that you would expect them every single time, just because it's a small sample size. Like Cody said, I think if we were to turn our back on those and start fading some of those spots, then, you know, we might just be, you know, getting ourselves on both ends there a little bit. So I don't mind the look with the Giants here. I think the real problem we didn't really get to address when we talked about this on Wednesday was that Andrew Thomas, their left tackle, I believe he's out for the year now. That's the Giants. He's one of the best left tackles in the league, and he was clearly a linchpin to this offensive line, because whatever shuffling they did to replace him just didn't work. Like you said, Cody, 8 sacks against an Eagles team that has been pretty good pressure-wise. I think they're probably about middle of the pack. I don't have the stats in front of me, but they haven't been, you know, a top 5 rush team or anything close to that. So 8 sacks at home to the Eagles is an embarrassment, and I can't help but, you know, put 2 and 2 together with Andrew Thomas leaving the week before. That really ended up killing us. The Eagles didn't do that much on offense, 28 points at the end of the day, but it was basically a couple big plays. They cashed in touchdowns. Hurts only 114 yards passing in this game. You know, at some point, the Giants defense just couldn't hold up when the offense was repeatedly not converting any third downs or moving the ball whatsoever. The Eagles only 1 for 13 on third downs, so I don't hate the bet. I think the cap that we got right was that the Eagles would kind of struggle on offense here. And I think if the Giants had put up some resistance, you know, we would have had a game here, but they just could not move the ball at all, which is indicated by their 8 sacks allowed and their, you know, only 3 total points. So they did not really give you a chance in this one, unfortunately. We'll have to remember that moving forward with Andrew Thomas. Hopefully they can figure something out, but good Lord, that was really ugly.
Yes, it was.
Cincinnati, Cleveland +41.5 was my next one. This one was a winner, and this one was pretty easy money. We even got the absolute worst outcome we could to start the game for an under bet, which was a kickoff return touchdown on the opening kickoff. You always love to see that, especially on a lower under at 41.5. I kind of thought we were in for another long day, but both these offenses really struggled pretty heavily after that. And honestly, it 21-14, it seems like it was somewhat close, but it really wasn't. There was a late touchdown and a 2-pointer from the Browns side that got this to where it was. And the Bengals scored 2 touchdowns in the third quarter as well to get to their 21. So after, you know, about midway through the second quarter, once that opening kickoff had happened and a few drives had gone through, I was, you know, I felt great about this bet basically all the way through after that. So under 41.5, never really in doubt other than right away when it gave me a little bit of a heart attack. But Bengals 2 for 13 on third down, only 223 total yards. That was the key to this cap. We thought the Bengals and Joe Burrow would struggle in Cleveland on offense, and even though they ended up winning the game, I think that was pretty true here. So I was pretty comfortable with this look.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it made much of a difference, but the Browns going from Deshaun getting hurt, DTR was probably a little bit of a help for the bet, not having Jameis in there.
Helpful as well, yeah. I mean, they hadn't done much anyway to that point, but yeah, it killed any possibility that this would turn into a back-and-forth affair in the second half or something like that.
Or even just the, you know, classic Jameis, just like bad interception at the bad time.
Right, Jameis could not,
like,
exactly.
He's liable for either side, either offense to score some extra points. So, again, I'm not sure it really made the difference, but probably didn't hurt, especially after Watson went down. There wasn't a lot of action until, like you said, that fourth quarter. So, good bet. I wanted to be on the Browns plus 5.5, but luckily was not. Nick's gone. They did not have really much of a chance. Like Nick said, there was a late touchdown in 2-point that at least made this game look closer than it was. So, again, not one of my five. My third best bet here, though, Panthers plus 9.5 at the Commanders. I want to say the Panthers probably officially on my do not bet list for now. I think I've lost every single bet that I've made on the Panthers so far this year. It's just one of those sucky things that it's the weeks we don't bet them that they end up covering and keeping the game close. The weeks we do bet them, they just get absolutely blown out. I was in this situation earlier this year, didn't bet them, they covered. Looked pretty good, and then every week that I bet him, it just doesn't go my way. And really, the most demoralizing part about this bet was Andy Dalton just had a bad game against one of the worst pass defenses in the NFL. No Jaden Daniels got hurt, I believe, on their very first drive of the game, and never really had a chance. Also, what really sucks is when you bet Jaden Daniels over 51.5 rushing yards, and he rushes for 50 yards on the first play of the game and gets hurt. So that kind of killed your boy. That was a rough one. But like I was saying before, Nick, this was kind of the last one on the bubble for me. My other one was going to be Cleveland plus 5.5. And like you had mentioned, that game really wasn't close until, I guess you could say, the very end when they made that touchdown at 2 points. So was bound to be a 3-2 week from the beginning. But this one was just demoralizing. Just getting absolutely blown out.
Yeah, I think we need to really listen to ourselves on Carolina. We are going to have to just put them aside until further notice, for sure. It sucked because that opening drive, Carolina was actually moving the ball down the field, and then, you know, obviously Andy Dalton throws the pick six, and that's just killer to any a road bettor, especially one on Carolina. So you kind of knew where it was going after that. Cody, I don't want to make you feel even worse about this Jaden Daniels bet, but I'm looking right here. His last play that he was in the game was a rush up the middle for a 3-yard loss. So he was at 53 yards
no
at one point.
Oh, no way. He
went down to 50.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. We had the Chiefs Niners
incredible
on the big screen, so I didn't even get to see like what actually happened when he got hurt.
Right.
But, oh, my gosh. That's
that's
terrible.
Incredible.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Gosh. Gotta love Vegas. Goodness gracious.
Yeah. I hope that made you feel a little bit better. But my ugly dog I took in the 3 o'clock window did cash for me. That was Las Vegas plus 7.5. Shout out Antonio Pierce, a completely useless field goal at the end of the game to get us to a cover here. Sounds like we got lucky, but also I think we got incredibly unlucky at the same time in this game. To be honest, the Raiders statistically dominated this game, 317 total yards to 259 for the Rams, 20 first downs to 15 for the Rams. Las Vegas, 3 for 15 on third downs, the Rams only 2 for 10. So both of them at 20%. Again here, the great equalizer, turnovers, Las Vegas 4 to the Rams 1. And LA turned one of those turnovers into a defensive score. Usually when you lose the turnover battle by 3 and the other team scores a touchdown on defense, you are absolutely dead betting one of these bad teams on the road. But in this case, the Raiders really, I think, played better and had a chance to win it at the end of the game. Down 8, this would have been really tough to lose this one that way at the end of the game. They got down to first and goal on the 4. Incomplete, 4th and goal on the 4. I'm assuming they're going for it. They're not going to get it, but Antonio Pierce, what a guy. Just kicks the field goal with 2.5 minutes left. An absolutely terrible move from an NFL perspective, but a bettor's dream. We end up cashing 20-15. And the Raiders, again, had another drive at the end that I think stalled out a little quicker, but they had a couple chances to really actually pull out this W. So
yeah.
I am totally comfortable with the cap. I got a little lucky at the end with the cover, but I think the read was there. The Raiders, this Rams team without Cooper Kupp is not very good on offense, even against a bad Raiders team.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you see the reports today? There was one Cooper Kupp potentially looking to get traded for around second round value. And then there was a report. The aggregators on Twitter are sometimes, good sources, but this one I'm not too sure about. But a Matthew Stafford to the Vikings trade was potentially talked about as well. So
that would be interesting.
Yeah, that would be kind of crazy. That would be awesome if you were a Vikings fan. I mean, it would probably simmer down the Sam Darnold talk, and then you'd be able to have a year or two of Matthew Stafford and then let J.J. McCarthy take over and not have to worry about the potential of, the Sam Darnold, J.J. McCarthy drama bleeding into next year. So might be the best of both worlds for him, but that one really threw me for a loop when I saw it as someone who has some Cooper Kupp and some Puka Nacua hopefully coming back from my fantasy team. So, good bet on that one. Like you said, Antonio Pierce kicking a late field goal down one possession to also be down one possession. You got to absolutely love reminiscence of the Rams kicking a field goal to end the game against the Niners last year that got me a nice little cheap cover. So gotta love those spots whenever you get them. Absolutely. Let's get into our next game. We both had this game, just different parts of it. Both winners, Chiefs at 49ers. I had the under 47.5. Had to sweat it down a little bit down the stretch. As the Niners were going for a 2-point conversion at the end of the game to cut it down to, I guess that would cut it down to what, two scores, I guess, at that point, or an easier chance to get back into it. But basically no reason. They were basically out of the game going for 2 points just to have more points on the board and would have absolutely ruined my under, but got lucky there. Chiefs absolutely gashed them in the run game. Mahomes had a relatively bad game. He did rush for one long run and then a touchdown, but besides that, was bad through the air. I mean, got to somewhat expect it with the weapons that you have, but just not at all what I was expecting from the 49ers defense. I mean, you don't expect them just to get gashed in the run game, at least not the 49ers defense we've seen in the past couple of years. So might be something we need to take a deeper look into and see if maybe they've just digressed a little bit in that category. But also Niners injuries on offense probably saved us a little bit in this game. They probably would have been able to score a little bit more. No Debo the entire game. Ayuk gets hurt at the end of the first half. And then honestly, the Chiefs run defense is just a lot better than they used to be. I mean, they were thought of as a run funnel, but it seemed to change a little bit. They were able to hold, Mason to at least a relatively, bad game for the games that he's been having this season. But these Chiefs unders, I like them quite a bit. This one had to sweat down and maybe got a little bit lucky with some injuries. But at the same time, these Chiefs unders are just so great because the offense scoring 28 is astonishing. Don't expect them to do that too many more times this season. And then, their defense is good enough to hold teams to a low enough total to cover these unders. So love the spot. I loved Nick's bet as well, taking the Chiefs. That was what we had talked about last week. I was just going through my lineup and realized I had all spreads and wanted to just sprinkle in an over-under in there as well just to get some variance. So a little lucky that it hit down the stretch, but very happy. Like you said, kept us in a winning week. But Nick, do you have anything else you want to go over for the Chiefs +2 on your end?
Not really. Yeah, survived the Mahomes pumpkin game once again. He was pretty awful in this one from basically start to finish, other than using his legs. Also, Cody, I want to know, what did you think about that Mahomes run? I think there's been a lot of discussion about the the quarterbacks in general. Like that's like the Kenny Pickett fake slide, like him fake going out of bounds running up the sideline.
Yeah,
I think it's kind of BS. I mean, I honestly, like they should start lighting up these quarterbacks on the sideline if they're going to fake going out of bounds to fool a defender into not tackling them and then getting by them. I mean, that if you're protecting a quarterback in that way, I think they should probably just be viewed as a runner outside the pocket from now on if they're going to use it to their advantage in that sense.
Yeah, and what you're getting at is it's tough for a defender because if he does go out and you light him up, then you're getting a 15-yard penalty.
Even if it's legal, even if he's still in play, if you tackle him and you land out of bounds, you're getting a flag 50% of the time. Exactly. I mean, I don't care. There's a Jonathan Owens play last year that's been going around on Twitter that completely clean hit, but Owens just hit Mahomes hard, got a flag in a huge situation, and the Chiefs still ended up losing that game, I believe. But it's just a hard position for the defender because he has to let up if he thinks Mahomes is going out of bounds. People were calling it a good move by Mahomes, but the defender completely just did not tackle him because he knew he was going to get a flag if he had been out of bounds. So it's a tough spot.
Yeah, it is a tough spot. I mean, unfortunately, that's kind of just the state of the NFL that we're in, you know, 10, 15 years ago and beyond. You could just hit him in that spot and you're getting a penalty, like you said, maybe 10% of the time as opposed to 50-50 like we're at now. So unfortunately, it's where we're at, but I do agree with you. I mean, on any of those things, like, that's just – I would be very pissed off if I was a defender and I was basically like, I'm not just going to fucking light you up right now. And you decide to just tiptoe around me and keep going. I mean, it's smart on the offensive player if the defensive player is going to give it to you, but it's also kind of a cheap move, which I don't necessarily like, because if I was in those defender shoes, like, I would just be pissed. Like, that defender is going to get lit up in the film room this week, and he's just like, what else am I supposed to do? Like, do you want me to fucking lay him out and take the 15-yard penalty? Because you'd be just as mad about that as well. So it's a tough spot for the defender. I don't know. They shouldn't be put in that position. All the other penalties that they have to worry about, like that right there, just I agree with you. Should just be, if he faked out, came back in, and it wasn't even like an actual juke move where it was like, oh, he fucking got him. The defender just flew out of bounds. It was like he was kind of trotting that way. The defender followed him, and then he just kind of
ran with him, like ran out of bounds, and then just he decided to not go out of bounds and just, continue up the sideline. It's like the Kenny Pickett fake slide from a couple years ago when he was in college.
Yeah.
Goes to fake a slide. The defender slows up, and then he runs around him. I mean, I feel like they probably just need to I don't know. Yeah, if you're angling towards the sideline, like very clearly, maybe you're just kind of giving yourself up at that point. It's a really hard thing to police on that situation, though. So I'm not sure how you fix it. I think also wanted to mention the Chiefs absolutely have devil magic going on, maybe specifically against the 49ers. But last year in the Super Bowl, obviously, Dre Greenlaw tears his Achilles warming up on the sideline. Like, what is that? One of their best defensive players.
Yep.
Just what running onto the field tears his Achilles. Who knows if that would have changed the outcome of the game, but still kind of just a wild thing to have one of your best defensive players get injured in that manner in a
critical spot.
And then this game, Debo has pneumonia. He gets pneumonia the morning of this game. What, have you even heard of an NFL player having that happen? That's insane. Ayuk tears his ACL in the middle of this game. Juwan Jennings did not play.
Yep.
George Kittle hurt his foot in the middle of this game as well, finished it and played well. But still, every single offensive piece that is important to the 49ers either got hurt or did not play in this game. It's pretty incredible. Last game for me, Tampa Bay +3.5 on Monday night. This game, oh my God. Felt so good coming out the gate. Tampa up 10-0. Todd Bowles was mixing up some blitz packages for Lamar. Defense was looking good. And then we were at 10-7, and Mike Evans dropped a touchdown, also really injured his hamstring on the same play, and that was basically it for the Tampa Bay side. Baker throws a pick in the end zone two plays later. Then he throws a pick on, I believe, his very next pass after that, after Baltimore had scored a touchdown, and they ended up going up 34-10, and Tampa Bay got some garbage time points in the fourth quarter, but Baltimore's offense is insane. They absolutely shredded this Buccaneers defense. So my cap on this running game, maybe being a little muted against a good Tampa run defense, was totally wrong. They ran for over 200 yards, absolutely killed them in the fourth quarter. Tampa Bay's offense did great. I was happy with that end of the cap, over 480 total yards of offense, but the pick in the end zone and the pick on the next play was just too much. Baltimore's offense was basically perfect after the first drive where they got stopped, and Tampa just couldn't catch up after giving them two touchdowns basically on those turnovers. So is what it is. At the end of the day, I probably deserve this loss just because Baltimore was so dominant, but I really wish I could have seen what would have happened if Evans would have held on to that ball and stayed in the game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just a completely different ball game if he's able to catch that touchdown. Then 17-7 for the Bucs, and, it's just a different offense the Ravens have to run at that point. You know, when the Ravens get up and they just get to basically run the option with Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson, I mean, you're just in the worst position as a defense. So, like I said, not much you really could have hoped for there. Even – even if Mike Evans gets injured in that spot, I mean, they were still able to move the ball at least somewhat efficiently the rest of the game. Obviously, a little bit towards the garbage time, but, you know, if it's 17-7 there, you're loving where you're at. So, yeah, that was a rough spot. And as we were talking about before the pod, I mean, just a rough game overall for the Buccaneers. You lose your top two receivers. Godwin out for the season. Mike probably not going to be back till week 12. Like, that is just absolutely rough. I mean, just changes their entire trajectory. So, yeah, just overall rough game and kind of a rough beat as well. My last game, bouncing back one day, Jets at Steelers. Steelers plus 2.5 at home. Maybe actually plus 1.5. I think it moved to 2.5 before game time, but I think I took it maybe at 1.5.
Don't matter.
Did not matter because they absolutely stomped the Jets. Typical Tomlin spot at home as an underdog. Absolutely loved it. It was like I said, after coming off a bad week, it was nice to have some like batting practice fastball options out here. You had the Chiefs as an underdog. You had Tomlin as an underdog. Just some easy ones to take advantage of. But yeah, I was a little nervous with the QB change, but you know, Mike Tomlin is the players coach of the NFL, and I don't think he would have made a change if he thought he was going to lose the locker room or didn't see a benefit of it. So I was nervous, didn't love their first drive with Russ, but he was able to kind of get a little bit of form back, hit some deep balls to George Pickens, and they ended up just absolutely running away with this game. Obviously the Jets, no surprise, adding one wide receiver to a team that is struggling in multiple departments didn't just completely change this team, unlike what everyone in the media would have made you seem like it was going to be. But, hey, they're getting Hassan Reddick back next week, so maybe that's going to be the great changer for the New York Jets this season.
Yeah.
But, yeah, not too much else about this game. Honestly, I think the Steelers are like 6 or 6.5 point favorites at home against the Giants, so might be an opportunity to fade them a little bit, but they did look pretty good this weekend, so got to give it to him. Got to give it to Russ coming back from his injuries and whatnot, being able to put together a big win on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, great read on your part. I did not have the stones to back Russell Wilson in his first start, but Cody was rewarded for showing some faith in Russ in this one. That got us to 3-2 for both of us in that game. So 6-4 on the week. Good week for the pod. Hope we can keep this momentum rolling. We're hoping to get our way back to 500, 32-38 total for the pod through week 7. Again, we have historically been around 500 midseason and really done well in the back half of the year the last couple of years. So hopefully we can repeat that pattern. We can talk about a couple look-ahead lines here. Since we're recording on a Tuesday night and assuming we're recording our preview tomorrow, there's not much in the way of betting value on these lines because we're going to talk about them one day from now. But we can take a look at a couple I like. Cody, do you have a few to look at as well?
Yeah, first one that, again, I'm just going to mention Giants plus 6.5 at the Steelers. Just, you know, fade Tomlin as a favorite, take him as an underdog. Just kind of one of those spots that is worth looking into. Also, Giants coming off of just an embarrassing game. Like you said, their offensive line is something that they're going to have to work through, but I don't know. It'll at least have interest in it. You're going to have a lot of sharps probably coming in on that side, but, you know, like it, don't love it. Jesus, how are the Broncos 8.5 point favorites over the Panthers? God, I hate the Panthers so much. You got Seahawks plus 3 at home against the Buffalo Bills. That one's at least a little bit interesting, but
I actually had the Bills down as Bills as 3-point favorites is one of my look ahead lines I like. Yeah, I think this thing could tick up to 3.5. It's taking a lot of action right now. I really like this matchup for the Bills. Joe Brady obviously wants to run the ball down the throat of every team he faces, and Seattle cannot stop the run at all right now. They are getting absolutely shredded by pretty much every team they face, even Atlanta, who they won by 20 against last week. I had a lot of success on the ground against them in that game. They just couldn't finish their red zone opportunities. But, yeah, if you go back through the last couple game logs for the Seattle Seahawks, it's really ugly on the ground. If the Bills are able to get this run game going, I could easily see them covering this 3 pretty easily. The only fear with the Bills is always the Josh Allen pumpkin game. I feel like you have like basically a 1 in 5 shot of running into it at any given time, especially on the road against a good defense, or not a good defense, on the road against a decent team. But if he shows up in this one, I don't really see much path for the Seahawks to win this game unless they really just win a shootout here, which against a decent Buffalo Bills pass defense seems like a tough thing to do, especially without DK Metcalf, another big big factor in that one. Indy plus 6 at the Texans. Absolutely love it. We cashed with Indy against the Texans in week one. It just makes a lot of sense. Anthony Richardson has played really well against the Texans in two or three matchups now. But this Indianapolis team has played Houston well the past couple of years, and Stroud has struggled as a big favorite in his career. And with no Nico Collins, this offense has just not looked the same at all, especially last week against Green Bay on the road. That defense in the Packers is good. It's shaping up, looking a little better the past couple of weeks, but it's nowhere near good enough to hold CJ under 100 yards. That was a really poor effort. So if the Colts have been absolutely lit up by Collins, specifically the last four games they played him too, I believe he has about 500 yards against the Colts. So they won't have to deal with that. I think it's a good spot at 6. That's one I might grab now because I could easily see this getting lower before game time.
It's already 5.5 on FanDuel. So if you see a 6
there,
out
you
there,
go. Yeah, so if you see a 6, I'd probably grab it. If it goes down to 4.5, it might not make my 5, but at 6, I love it. Vegas plus 10, baby, against your Chiefs.
Don't blame
me. I mean, the Chiefs offense scored 28 last week, but that's not something they normally do. 10 points is a whole lot against an offense that does not usually get into the high 20s. So just a good spot to sell high. I mean, these, like you said, the road favorites have been covering like crazy. And I think that's like, we're getting extra points for these home dogs right now because of that. Normally this is probably closer to 7.5, but at 10, it's a huge number. If it's still at 10 on Saturday, that's definitely going to be in consideration for my 5. And then I had one more that I liked. Detroit minus 11. If it's under 2 touchdowns, I'm probably going to have it in. I just don't really see a path for this Tennessee team to compete in this game. 11's a huge number, and it should be. I think this should be 14 personally. That's the number that I would probably lay off of it. But this Detroit offense is just too good right now. And we saw the Titans go up 10-0 at the Bills last week as a huge dog. That is like, that's the best situation. You know, that's what you dream of as a better of a plus 9.5 dog on the road against a good team. And they still lost by 24. Like this, even if the Titans come out and, you know, their first 15 script is beautiful and they score 2 touchdowns and they're up 14-0, I am not feeling like we're dead in this bet. There's just a lot of pass to the Lions to get here. And their offense is so explosive. They can make up ground really quickly. And I could easily see them just kind of running them out of the building to begin the game anyway, too. So, I like them at 11. I'd probably take them now because, again, I think that's another one that could rise a little bit.
Absolutely. I would not be surprised. With it being a large spread, I wouldn't be surprised if some pro money comes in on the Titans just with it being that high.
Could stay, too.
It might stabilize it a little bit, but, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see it tick up to like 11.5, 12 by the time the game is going. Last one I'll just point out, and then we'll talk more about these tomorrow so we don't have to spend too much time on it, but the Atlanta Falcons minus 2.5 at the Buccaneers. Obviously, Buccaneers coming off of a game where they lost their two best offensive weapons, so they're going to have some retooling they're going to have to do. And the Falcons is a pretty embarrassing loss against the Seahawks this week. It was in Seattle, so a tough place to play, but I do.
Was it all?
Oh, it was in Atlanta?
Yeah.
Oh, that's just embarrassing then. Good. Nice embarrassing loss by Lobin.
I was going to say, that's even better for you. Honestly.
Yeah. I don't mind that. Wow, I did not know that was in Atlanta. In Atlanta. I just saw the score, and I was like, oh, it had to be in Seattle. Jeez, what a game from the Seahawks. Ah, that makes me like your side of the Seahawks game a little bit more as well. It's coming off a massive win on the road, so nice. Anyway, the Falcons, relatively healthy. Buccaneers going to have some retooling to do, so might be a spot I look to play as well, but all right, Nick, let's hop out of here. We'll be back again tomorrow for our preview. And we will talk to you guys then. Let's keep this train rolling, try and get a little bit above 500 this week and see if we can get this thing rolling in the second half like we have the past 2 years. So, Nick, talk to you tomorrow. Peace out, brother.
Peace.